We are doing something a little different tonight. I've been looking forward to this passage as we continue on into Luke. Tonight, before we get into the Word of God, there's a couple things I want you to know. In chapter 13, God gives laws regarding skin diseases and leprosy. And a part of skin diseases and leprosy was that someone who's afflicted with it, or if they even have a garment that's afflicted with some sort of blemish, they need to go to the priest. And the priest is the one who says whether they are clean or unclean. And ultimately, if it's a skin disease or like leprosy, where the person is, there's no hope for this person, they're to be put outside the city and put away from people. And anytime they see someone, they're supposed to yell, unclean, unclean, so nobody comes near them. And ultimately, in order to ever be declared clean, they have to go back to a priest who evaluates them and makes them clean. One other thing I want you to know before we get into the Word tonight is about the people called Samaritans. The Samaritans were a people group who lived in about the middle of Israel. And this people group was a little different than that of the Jews. They were actually considered a different group of people because during the time of the divided kingdom, when the Assyrians took back the northern kingdom, or took over, I should say, not took back, took over the northern kingdom, the Assyrians deported a lot of the Jews. And then those that they left, they moved other cultures into that area. And so over that time of the fall of that northern kingdom and the deportation, the Jews began to intermix with these other people's groups, and thereby making them no longer Jewish and no longer clean to come into the temple or be part of the temple rituals. And so the Jews and the Samaritans did not get along well. The Samaritans denied worship at the temple, and the Samaritans, they believed in the same God, but they did not consider each other kinsmen or friends. In fact, the Jews looked at the Samaritans as unclean and not wanting to be involved with them. So that's the information you need to know before we begin our story from God's Word tonight. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord God, Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, your word is truth. It is life. It is everything we need for godliness. And now, Lord, we ask that you might teach us and unpack this episode in your word, that we might understand how to apply it to our lives. Lord, that we might be confronted, our attitudes might be confronted, Lord, that our thoughts and our deeds might be all submitted to you. We love you, Lord Jesus, and we pray all this in your name. Amen. And here's where our story begins. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus passed along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met there by 10 lepers who lifted up their voices, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When Jesus saw them, he said to them, "Go, show yourselves to the priest." And as they went, they were cleansed. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back, praising God loudly, and he fell on his face at the feet of Jesus, thanking him. He was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered him and said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? was no one found to return and give praise to God but this foreigner? And Jesus said to him, rise, get up, go on your way. Your faith has made you well. That's our story from God's Word. Who liked that story? You liked it? Okay, so here's my question for you. I wonder if any of you could tell back what you can remember of that story and help us out. I'll even get you started. On the way to Jerusalem, Jesus passed along, anybody remember? Samaria and between Samaria and Galilee. Okay, anybody think that they could tell back what they can remember of that story? What do you think? I bet. You'll go for it? Okay. Can you stand up just so everybody can hear good? To make you more uncomfortable?
So on the path, Jesus, Samaria, and Galilee, and there's 10 men standing at the gate. And they're covered with leprosy. And they shout, Jesus. And Jesus says, go and see the priest. And they turn around, and they're healed. And when they saw they were healed, one turned around and said, praise God, and went to his face at Jesus' feet. And Jesus said, wasn't there 10 of you? Why aren't the other 9 giving thanks? Rise up, and because your faith has made you well.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you. Thank you. You actually remembered a lot more details than I thought you would. That's really good. So, well, tell you what, let me do it with you. Let's learn the story together so we can have a good discussion and discuss the story, the word accurately. So, on the way to where?
Jerusalem.
Jesus passed along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered a village, he was met there by what?
Ten
lepers who stood at a distance. And they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when Jesus saw them, anybody remember what he said? He said, go and show yourselves to the priest. Okay? And none of them went. No. It said, and as they went, they were cleansed. Yeah. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he did what? Anybody remember what he did? He turned back. And then he praised God with a loud voice. And he fell on, I heard somebody say it over here. He fell on his face at the feet of who?
Jesus,
giving him thanks. He was what? He was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered him and said, we're not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Has no one been found to return and give praise to who?
God.
Except this foreigner. You guys remember? Foreigner. Yeah. And Jesus said to him, rise. Go your way. Your faith has made you well.
Wow.
Yeah. Good job. You guys did a really good job. Well, you know, as I think about this story, I can't help but think about what might it have been like to have Jesus visit your village or town. Awesome? You think it would have been awesome? Okay. What's that?
What?
Yeah, you're waiting for
still waiting
for him to come visit.
Visit our Yeah.
Amen. What might it have been like for Jesus to visit your village or town?
Jesus.
What do y'all think?
Intense.
What's that?
Probably intense, like probably nervous.
What?
Intense?
The town looks nice, but I don't make sure, you know, the town looks like garbage. You want to make it look nice, you know? What a present.
Yeah.
There you go.
You want the to be nice? Okay. What else? What might it have been like to have Jesus visit your town? They'd been hearing stories, and they might think that this is really awesome and exciting to see if all these stories are true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anybody else think anything different?
Maybe there were some people who had obviously their doubts and weren't really sure that everything that was being told was the right thing, and that he was probably just a false prophet. So there was just like that fear.
Some people may have had doubts that maybe he wasn't legitimate. And you know, it makes me think some people might have been very hopeful hearing that he was coming. What's that?
If you had a problem or a concern, to try and get to see him.
Yeah, well, so let's dig into the story a little bit deeper here, because I think as we discuss this, we might learn a lot not only about Jesus, but also this leper who returns. So the story starts out with, on the way to Jerusalem, Jesus passed along between Samaria and Galilee. And as he came to a village, entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance. And they lifted up their voices, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When Jesus saw them, he said to them, "Go, show yourselves to the priest." And as they were going, they were cleansed. Let's just stop there for a moment and see what we can discover about these lepers. Is there anything we can learn about these lepers from their crying out to Jesus? What's that?
So was it that the Jews?
They were probably Jews?
Well, more likely than like Samaritans, because like they're in between like a Jewish settlement and the Samaritan settlement. And so, I mean, knowing who Jesus was.
So she's saying that, I'm going to say it a lot, we'll kind of repeat it as you say it. So she's saying that because they were kind of in between Samaria and Jerusalem and Israel, or the Jewish areas, knowing who Jesus was, they were probably mostly Jews. Okay, anything else on that? Okay. Sorry, I got to make sure everybody can hear in the back. So, yeah. They were probably super hopeful. They were, yeah. So I mean, when we think about that, they're actually calling out to Jesus. It says that as he entered the village, he was met by who?
Ten
lepers. And were the lepers coming up to him?
No.
What were they doing? They stood at a distance and lifted up their voices. Is there anything we can learn about them from the fact that they stood at a distance?
Someone said that.
And shouted?
They were cast out of the town.
He was probably surrounded by people.
Like he was surrounded by people. Yeah. They were cast out. What else?
They respected him. They know he's going to be contagious. They don't want to get close to him.
Okay, so they respected him and they honored the law.
Yeah.
To a certain extent. They honored the law. Anything else we can learn about them?
Not only did they know who he was, but they knew
Oh, they didn't just know about him, but they actually knew he could do something. How can we learn that from the story? What did they say? Anybody remember what they lifted up their voices and said? Jesus,
Master,
have mercy on us. They called him Master. Could they have said something different?
Prophet.
Someone used to sit down.
They could have called him Prophet. Oh, okay. Could they have said, done anything else? I feel like I heard something.
Something voice of Lord
and Savior. I mean, call him Lord and Savior. I mean, you know, if they believed him, they obviously knew that they have a background on him, who he is and what he's done.
Yeah, they could have called him Lord and Savior and or something like that, but they said Jesus, Master. Okay.
They could have not reached out because to have leprosy, you're cast out, and some people thought it was because you did a sinful, shameful thing, so you brought it upon yourself. So they could have been, afraid to reach out to the Master for consequences or judgment or whatever.
Okay. So, yeah, they could have not even reached out. And they could have just been shut down. Okay. So they clearly believe that Jesus has this ability to heal them, right? So they lift up their voices and saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And the story says, when Jesus saw them, he said to them, go, show yourself to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. Anything we can learn about Jesus from this, his command?
He knew the law.
Yeah, for sure. He knew the law. And was he fulfilling the law or breaking the law? He was fulfilling the law. Yeah, he was keeping the law. Oh, yeah, he didn't even have to come up to them or touch them. He just said, go. Yeah. Yeah, he had the power to just say, go. Could the lepers have responded differently when he said, go show yourself to the priest? Yeah. They could have said, no way. Oh, forget it.
Go forever.
So, yeah, but they start heading off, right, with their leprosy. So Jesus says, go show yourself to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. You know, Jesus didn't even say, be healed, did he? He just said, go show yourself to the priest. Can that tell us anything about his character or nature? He's humble. Why do you say that? Oh, so he's not kind of making a big deal out of it and bringing them before him. Okay, yeah. Anything else we can learn about his nature? He had compassion for them. And why do you say that? That it'd be impossible in a sense, unless God moves, you're stuck with leprosy. There's no remedy for it. Anything else we can learn about the nature of Jesus?
Compassionate.
Yeah, compassionate. Yeah. But, you know, it says as the lepers went, they were cleansed.
They knew they had faith in him.
Okay. But how, what can we learn about Jesus from as they went, they were cleansed?
He's a healer.
Okay, we talked already about how he just spoke from a distance and said it. But anything we learn about his nature from the fact that as they went, they were cleansed?
He was waiting to see their faith.
Waiting to see their faith? Okay. Just out of curiosity, how powerful is your doctor?
I know. Hey! I'm an android, not me. Wow.
Anybody ever leave the doctor office already feeling better?
I don't think you go back to the hospital. It feels worse. Who said that?
Yeah. So, what can we learn about the nature of Jesus? He has power. That's a great statement. He has power. Because he told them to go and show themselves to the priest. But by saying go, show yourself to the priest, what is Jesus ultimately telling them? You're healed. You're healed. So he has power. Anything else we can learn about him? I know sometimes we have to think deeply on these things, but I'll tell you this, commentaries have very little on this story. So that's why we're taking the time to go deep like this today.
He also has authority.
He also has authority. Why do you say he has authority?
Just say the word, stand up and see.
He just says the word. Yeah, that's what we're talking about. So he has power, but he also has the authority. Ah, wow.
How he didn't ask if you're a Jew or if you're a Samaritan or if you're Galilee. Like, he didn't ask who they were or where they stood. He just healed them all without question.
Yeah, he didn't sort them out
they were all treated equal, whether they were from different places or not.
Oh, okay.
He didn't separate them.
So he saw them each individually. The story goes on to say, then one, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and praised God with a loud voice. And falling on his face at the feet of Jesus, he gave thanks. He was a Samaritan. And Jesus answered, were there not 10 who were cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise, go your way, your faith has made you well. This leper, upon realizing that he's been healed, it says he turns back. Now, I know this is a simple question, but I want to make sure we really evaluate the decision that he did make, because I think that he could have made a different decision. What other decisions could this individual have made? He could have gone to the priest. He could have just kept going. But something set this leper apart, and it was a decision, right? So when he realized that he was healed, it says he turned back. But he didn't just turn back. What did he do with his voice? He praised God loudly with his voice. Is there anything we can learn about this Samaritan man from his response? He was grateful. Yeah, he was absolutely grateful.
And he wanted everybody to know what just happened.
He wanted everybody to know? Well, did in the story, did it say he went and told people? Oh, he's just praising God loudly. Okay. Yeah, maybe he's praising God loudly so people can hear. Anything else we can learn about this man?
He knows who's responsible.
Oh, he knows who is responsible. He knows who is responsible. Yeah. Anything else we can learn about him? Yeah. The Lord Jesus tells us he's a man of faith. Absolutely. He's a man of faith. Just think about the story for a moment. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and praised God with a loud voice. And fell down on his face at the feet of Jesus, giving him thanks. He was a Samaritan. What does this Samaritan man teach us about Jesus?
He's worthy of our worship.
He's worthy of our worship, yeah. Yeah, I think the Samaritan man kind of knows something that the other nine don't know.
I think that's everyone.
Someone said that. Think about that, how Jesus is the way. Because when he was unclean, he decided not to come close to the Lord. But after he got clean, he went right to his feet.
Oh, yeah. That's a good observation. After he's clean, he goes right to the feet of Jesus. Yeah, what were we going
to
say?
Like, he knew to go turn to Jesus for help, but then also turn back and thank him for the help, too. He didn't just take it, he didn't just take it and assume he was going to be healed and run off, but he went back to make sure he gave the praise for asking for the help. So he did both, where he asked and thanked.
Yeah, he turned back. He not only asked, but he also came back and gave thanks.
Yeah.
Well, Jesus answers him and says, we're not 10 cleansed. Where are the 9? Was no one found to return praise to God except this foreigner? Does Jesus help us understand anything about this man and what he realizes that the others did not realize?
If he actually was the only Samaritan, he would have a greater appreciation that Jesus would bother with him. You know, if the rest were Jews, of course Jesus would help them. They're Jews, you know.
Okay.
But he's this, you know, unclean, not just because of leprosy, but the fact that he's a Samaritan. He would have much greater appreciation.
Being the only Samaritan, he would have actually a greater appreciation that he was included in this healing versus the Jews would almost be expectant of the healing. Okay. Has no one been found to return praise to God except this foreigner? Whose feet did the Samaritan fall at?
Jesus.
He fell at Jesus' feet. What does Jesus say he's doing?
Praise God.
What was that back there?
Praise God.
Praise God.
Praising God. Is there anything this Samaritan has figured out that the other 9 did not figure out?
It was God.
Saving God.
That he's God. He's God.
He's God.
Jesus, the Samaritan has figured out that Jesus is not just a man. He's God. Wow. That's pretty powerful, right? And as Jesus says to the man, answers the man and says, has no one been found to return praise to God except this foreigner? Then he said to him, rise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. As this Samaritan turns back, Jesus actually also compares him with the other nine. And I wonder if there is an attitude here that we need to consider that the other nine have. What can we learn about these other nine from what they did?
Once they were healed, they forgot about it.
Yeah.
Maybe wonder if at the beginning of the story when someone called out to Jesus, if he was the only one who recognized Jesus, and he was the one that called out to Jesus, and the other nine were completely clueless.
That's a good thought, but in the story it does say they lifted their voices. So it gives us the idea that they all cried out. But that's a good thought, yeah. What?
That in their time of need, they go and shout out for Jesus to help them, to have mercy. But once that need is met, they just forget to be grateful and forget everything that he has done.
Okay, they forget to be grateful and thankful. Yeah, absolutely. That's a good question. Jesus says to the Samaritan who returned, your faith has made you well. But the others were also cleansed. But there's something different about this Samaritan. There's something different that this Samaritan man got that the others didn't get. Do you think the story helps us understand it at all? Faith can heal others? Okay. Somebody I think was going to say something back
here.
Wasn't sure. There was something different about the Samaritan.
He believed.
So what did the Samaritan receive that the others didn't?
Salvation?
What do y'all think about that? Does the story show us that? You guys are like, well, you tell us. We're exploring it together. He does say his faith has made him well. So the question is, was it deeper than just the physical healing? Has he moved into a relationship with Jesus, right? Did I paraphrase that right? What do you all think about that?
He must have had a spiritual healing as well. He must have had a deeper connection with the Lord after he realized that it was God.
He must have had a deeper connection, something spiritual, some sort of spiritual healing. Okay. Has no one been found to return praise to God except this foreigner? Then Jesus said to him, rise, your faith has made you well. Or rise, go, your faith has made you well. In the story, what did we discover that the Samaritan figured out? That Jesus is God. And the Samaritan did what?
He fell
on his face and he praised him. He gave thanks to him. But the other nine, what did they do? They just went to the priest.
So by falling at his feet, is he accepting Jesus?
What do you all think?
Like the rest of them knew he was a master, they called him teacher, but they didn't call him savior, right?
So at the beginning of the story, they said master, right? But at the end of the story, it didn't seem like he's a master for the other nine, did it? So
hear the priest's word that they were clean.
What's that?
They would rather go to the priest and hear the word from the priest that they were clean.
They wanted to go to the priest. They'd rather go to the priest and hear that they were clean. Okay. Yeah. I know we're all expecting a tied up bow that says, and he received him and was forgiven of his sin, and be really explicit. But this is reality, the Bible. This is not, it's not the... like the way we like to make stories, right? This is reality. The man returned praising God and fell on his face at the feet of Jesus, giving him thanks. So do you think there was an attitude change that was different from the other nine in this man? There was an attitude change? Do you think there was a recognition difference between this man and the others? Yes. And do you think there was confirmation by Jesus? There was. So I think the story really tells us, one, that this man received a lot more from Jesus that day than just the physical healing. As he was told, your faith has made you well. Go. It's a wonderful story. I think when we think about the story... I think it challenges us on our attitude, heart attitude toward Jesus as well. You know, does Jesus still reveal himself as God to people today? What does that look like? Okay, so people receive favor, but they don't necessarily return to God with thanks. So what does it look like when God reveals himself to people?
Not everybody sees it.
Not everybody sees it? So for those who do see it, what does it look like? We fall on our face? Yeah. What else? An awareness of who he is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a heart change.
There's a heart change. Yeah. Amazing how we see all these things in this story. Well, I wonder how can this story help you in the future? How might this story help you in the future?
Not to be one of the nine.
Not to be one of the nine. Okay, how do we not be one of the nine?
Praise loud.
Praise loudly with a loud voice, okay. What else?
Take the time to thank God.
Take the time to thank God.
Someone said that.
Same thing. Take the time to thank God. Give him thanks. Yeah. Fall down on our face. Not be one of the nine. Take time to thank God.
Keep your faith.
There we go.
Keep faith in Christ. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Call out to him.
What's that?
Call out to him.
Yeah, with a loud voice. Yeah, beautiful. Wonderful truths that we learned tonight. So we're in the story tonight from God's Word was from Luke chapter 17. And it was verses 11 through 19. And we're going to see that as Jesus continues toward Jerusalem and the cross, he's going to be dealing with a lot of attitudes. And this was the first story in dealing with attitudes. And I wanted to take this short story to do it orally with all of you, that we might be able to ponder this and really think about it. And Here's the challenge for you. I believe that you know probably 80% accurate this story. I bet you all of you have at least 80% accuracy of the story now. So it'll only take you a little bit more to learn it 100% accurate. But you could go home tonight and share the story with somebody and share it with somebody else and just tell them what you learned at church tonight and be blessed by that. Talk about it with your spouse or someone else and go deeper into this story. Because I really believe you're going to find deeper things there. And with that said, I'm going to pray, and then we're going to go into communion.
Table.
Okay, I get to announce. So we're going to go into communion now. And as we do it here on Sunday night, we want you to come as you are ready and take the elements, go back. And, of course, men, we're asking you to lead your household in communion. Allow yourself to be examined by the Holy Spirit. Confess any sins that need to be confessed. And as you're ready, come forward. I'm going to pray. And the praise team is just going to play some music while you are coming forward, and come as you're ready. So let me go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer. Lord God, Father, we thank you so much. We thank you. We thank you, Lord, for sending your Son, Jesus Christ, to redeem us, Lord. Lord, we don't want to be like the nine who doesn't recognize your goodness toward us, who doesn't recognize your healing. Lord, we recognize that we've been healed by you. Lord, we've been forgiven of sin. And so now, Lord, we come to you and we confess. Lord, we bring our hearts before you and our minds, and we say, search us and know us. Any unclean thought, any unclean attitude, Lord, we bring it before you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that your body was broken for us and your blood was shed for us on that cross. The new covenant of your blood shed for us for the remission of sins. We remember, Lord. And if we can make it a part of us, we will. So tonight we come to your table. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. We praise you, Lord Jesus. You know, I think there's some things we missed in that story that are so obvious but so foreign to us. Like, for instance, it didn't matter how sick the leper was, how impossible it was for him to be healed, Jesus still cleansed him and made him well. It didn't matter that he was a foreigner and not one of God's covenant people, but God brought him in to the covenant. It's a beautiful story. May the Lord bless you and keep you this week. May he cause you to remember and meditate on his word. And may you go in peace. Amen.